Hello and welcome to our episode of FinTech Focus TV, live here from the FIX EMEA Trading Conference in London. And it is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to Rabia from Talent Beyond Boundaries. Lovely to have you on the show.
Nice to be here.
So I'm super excited to be talking to you because you are the charity partner for the event at Talent Beyond Boundaries. I've had the great pleasure of meeting one of the people who you've helped, who's going to be on a panel which I'm moderating later on, that I couldn't be more excited to be doing, the People panel. His story is incredible, generally like nothing I've ever heard before, and I think the work that you're doing is exceptional. So loads of it for us to get talking about today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what Talent Beyond Boundaries does.
Absolutely. So my name is Rabia and I'm one of the program managers for the UK program for Talent Beyond Boundaries. And essentially what our organisation does is it helps refugees and displaced people find employment opportunities with employers in the UK, but also we have global programs in Australia, Canada, US, expanding into Belgium, Ireland, Portugal. The aim is to get into 27 destination countries by 2027.
Wow.
So we're on track for that, but essentially it's just another type of a solution, I guess, for refugees and displaced people. So normally they will come through to countries using the humanitarian pathway, but we obviously know that system is overloaded. So it's really bringing them through with another pathway, the skilled migration pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we see this is it's kind of two birds, one stone, where you're helping or an employer is helping a displaced person and essentially changing their lives, but also addressing a skills shortage problem that's, you know, exists in the UK in all industries, not just fintech. So
I think that's something that really struck out to me, that we are in the midst of a talent shortage.
Absolutely.
Full stop. And within technology that's pronounced, in fintech it's pronounced, and people sort of complain about that a little bit without sometimes thinking of the solutions. And my view is there's loads of different talent gold mines everywhere that you can look, and actually the work that you're doing and what I've learned over the course of the last week or so actually is that there's an enormous piece around here. And what I was most struck by, speaking to Khalaf, who's going to be on the panel later on, is just what it means to him and the wider picture and what you actually get as an employer off the basis of this, as much as the person who, the charity and the individual you're helping at the same sort of stage. So Khalaf is an incredible guy who's had an amazing story, but what speaking to him about it that I think makes it so powerful is he's not just working for himself and the family that he's supporting. He's not just working for the company that's supported him and given him the opportunity, but he feels the weight of supporting, you know, refugees all over the world and making sure that he's a great role model for that. And so I think, you know, that when you look at that and you think about that and what he's doing and the effort that he's putting into it and the dedication he puts into it and the way he thinks about it, and I've only had a couple of minutes conversation with him so far, but I don't think you get that from anyone who you're speaking to on a regular basis. And that sort of investment, this isn't just another job for a software engineer who's going to be looking for the next job there afterwards. This is someone there who's got a mission and a purpose that I think is absolutely inspiring to, you know, to everyone else around it. And that must be some of the feedback you're getting from the likes of Iris and other companies.
Absolutely. It starts off, I think, the very first solution or the very first problem we're solving is we're helping one person and their family out of displacement. They're getting a permanent solution in a new country. The second one is obviously an employer is getting an amazing, amazing employee, highly skilled worker. And that's quite similar to international hiring in many ways. So if they've already done international hiring, it shouldn't be something new to them. So it's a relatively low risk, low effort way to tap into a whole new talent pool. And then the third one is as you mentioned, it's got this flow-on effect that, to be honest, we didn't actually see coming when we first started the program, where, you know, candidates were coming through successfully, bringing their families through successfully, and then going off and telling their networks, so their skilled professional networks, about this program, spreading the word, telling other employers, and then we've got this huge network of both employers and candidates coming together and you know, not fixing the skills shortage, but definitely contributing to it in a positive way. So that's been really, really, you know, heartening to see that it's got that full effect.
And tell me the sort of reaction that you get from people. So Iris is someone who you are working with on a global global basis. And tell me what they're saying about the program. Tell me how, you know, how that sort of works out and the sort of feedback you're getting from people who you're talking to.
Yeah, they absolutely love it. Iris was actually one of our first employers. So back in 2016, 2017, when we started the program in Australia, and that's the first program I worked on. And they brought in a software engineer in Australia, then the UK. I think they're at about, I'm not sure of the numbers, but they've hired a fair few people since then. But they absolutely love it, and they just keep coming back. And we always say to employers that are newly engaging with our program, once you go through it, it will become addictive. You'll want to do it again. So, you know, the first time might be a bit rough around the edges. We'll get a process together, especially if you haven't done international hiring before, which wasn't a problem for Iris because they had. It's just about kind of rinse and repeat. Let's get in more numbers. So they do get a bit addicted to our candidates. We do have a very high caliber of candidates. So.
And how do you work that out? So as you said, look, there's a highly skilled, group here of displaced refugees. How do you assess that? How do you come through? What's the sort of process for that?
So it's kind of twofold. Our teams work, we work on the destination side, which is obviously the countries we're relocating the talent to, and then we have source side. So these are our teams that are based in Lebanon, Jordan. We have a team in Latin America. We work with partners on the ground in the Asia Pacific region. And essentially their job is to talk to the candidates that register with us. So we have a database called the Talent Catalogue, where refugees, displaced people can register directly, pop in all their details, CV, information, whatever they'd like us to know about them. And then we go to that database when we have an employment opportunity. So our source team is responsible for that part of the process. So essentially that first step is almost like a recruiter in ways. So they go through the profiles, make sure there's a skills match, and they'll also do what we call an intake in the early stages. So they'll actually reach out to the candidates and understand a bit more about their status. So where they are, where they've come from, understand if they're genuinely displaced, genuine refugees, and we do a bit of a program eligibility check in the early stages, and also visa eligibility check in the earlier stages before we submit them for opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that takes out the risk that candidates may be disqualified later on after a company has put in investment into it. Mm. We sort those details out quite early on and put them forward.
Yeah. And is there a profile of sort of companies who generally sort of getting involved with you? Is it large, medium, small, or literally it can be any kind of business?
All kinds. Our process, it fits all levels. So we've had larger employees like Iris and Deloitte and Accenture and all kinds of companies like that. We have medium size, we have small size, where it's family businesses looking to hire. Essentially, if you have the ability to sponsor international candidates, then you can go through this program.
And are there a sort of profile of the sort of candidate who you're helping? Is there a sort of skill set that's a generic skill set, or profile of the candidate itself?
It's very much based on demand. So that is our model. We look at employees and what they're after rather than focusing on the talent. And the reason for that is it's quite a difficult space to be in,
because
we have limited employers, but almost 100,000 candidates at the moment. So it depends on the region. So in the UK, healthcare has been huge. So we brought in a huge, I think over 250 nurses now into the healthcare system. And then globally, I would say technology, engineering, financial services is quite a big area of demand and supply.
Do you tend to work at the junior level? Is it the mid-level, senior level that you see people?
All kinds. I would say generally it's probably junior to mid.
Yeah.
We've had very few companies want that exec level, and it's quite difficult to find, because sometimes they need to look at local markets for that, but I would say about mid-range.
And that software engineering piece, I think, is such an important area to get right, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's one of those, it's a transferable skill set, where we have all these engineers that have worked in different industries, but there's no reason why they can't enter a new industry that they haven't previously worked in, because they've got that hard skill set. I know Caleb's going to talk about that a little bit in his panel later.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, what I love about him is the way that he's sort of developed and progressed in the organisation as well. So he's sort of gone into different areas, he's learned different marketplaces, and it comes back to, again, that sort of motivation for him to want to do that and to pick things up and to do more than is expected of him because of the level of responsibility I think he feels for what he's doing into as well. So I think it's absolutely incredible, and it's brilliant to see what you guys are doing from it. So if there are people watching this, if there are people at throughout Fix today who are coming over to look to you, who should be reaching out? How do they reach out? What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, so we do have a stand today, and we have a website, obviously, Talent Beyond Boundaries. So reach out over there. We have a huge presence on LinkedIn, so find us there. If you're interested in hiring, just get in touch. We're easily reachable, very contactable. So
Fantastic. Just give us
a search.
Superb. Well, listen, it's lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Really looking forward to the panel later on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on the show. And thank you all for watching. We'll see you soon on the next episode of FinTech Focus TV.